Stephen Mayne's the founder of the website crikey.com.au. He's a noted shareholder activist, so he, like my mates in here, would be, I'm sure, a Telstra shareholder, perhaps a more modest one. He's on the line. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
Hi, John.
What do you make of my share market players' views of Solitaire Hero and his remuneration?
Look, I probably agree with them, but when you consider that Frank Lowy got $16 million last year, Rupert Murdoch got US $32 million, and Nicholas Moore, the new CEO of Macquarie Bank, got $27 million. Solitaire Hero's $13.4 million isn't that unreasonable when you consider the scale of what he is attempting, which is a massive transformation of Telstra, building new networks, getting rid of 12,000 staff, migrating millions of customers onto new systems, and basically kicking the butt of most of his beleaguered competitors, which is what he's doing when you look at the numbers and the market share figures that have come out. So I think it's most controversial that his 2IC, Greg Wynne, who's the head of operations, his salary more than doubled. Well, he went from $5.7 million to $11.2 million. So that was a bit over the top. But Sol's, in the overall scheme of things, I think you can justify what he's getting paid.
It's an interesting point because obviously you and I know we hear politicians, and I'm sure we'll probably see Wayne Swan in the next couple of days telling us how terrible it is. And Peter Costello used to wring his hands and talk about how these things were obscene. And I think Paul Keating must have done it when he was treasurer. They all do it. But there's never any action taken to rein it in, is there?
Well, last year at the Telstra annual meeting, a majority of shareholders voted against the remuneration report, which was the first time that had happened to a major company. So there was a major revolt by the shareholders, led by the Future Fund, which was effectively the federal government. Telstra's amended a few of their policies, and they're not paying Sol in quite the same way as they were belligerently doing it last year. Mm-hmm. But he still managed to get a pay rise, and the big two at Telstra are still walking off with $25 million this year. But I guess the argument goes that if they achieve their dream of free cash flow of between $6 and $7 billion by 2009-2010, and they only did $4 billion this year, so they've got to add another $2 to $3 billion of cash profits to achieve their goals. If they do that, Telstra shares will be over $6. I've no doubt about that. And they closed today 4% lower at $4.30. So they're promising the world, and if they deliver it and get this $7 billion cash profit, then they deserve to sort of head off back to America sharing more than $100 million between
them. A fair bit of money. What about, though, if you're working in marketing, advising Sol Trujillo and saying, look, if you can just battle along on your $12 million, and you announced today that you could have taken this increase, but you've decided as a signal to the community that you're being paid enough and that the company's doing very well and that you don't want to take that increase, wouldn't that be having a lot of goodwill being rained on Sol? And he's not really going to miss the money, is he?
Well, he came here worth more than $100 million, so yeah. He's not really in it for the money. He's in it for the challenge. He's gonna make between $50 and $100 million when he leaves. But I don't know. I don't think a right wing American who's very close to the Republican Party is in the business of waiving monies agreed to in contractual negotiations. Although I do agree that he has kicked the union out of Telstra industrial relation negotiations. Today he's accused the unions of proposing illegal schemes. He's still trying to axe 12,000 staff over his 5 years. So certainly the unions are very upset with him. Julia Gillard was making threats to Telstra about not trying to resurrect work choices, etc. And it is a little bit inflammatory to see these big pay rises coming through, particularly on a day when Telstra share price has fallen by 4% because the market wasn't impressed.
Okay, let me ask you this then, just without notice before we go. Commonwealth Bank, this close to $5 billion in profit for the last financial year. I had a caller a moment ago saying, why doesn't one of the big banks decide to break with the pack, not increase its interest rates to the extent the others are, and try and increase its market share and invite people to switch banks and come to it? My comment was that if they did that, their share price would suddenly plunge. Is that right?
Look, that is right. But the big four banks in Australia have been dramatically increasing their market share because all the non-bank players have left the field because of the credit crisis. So RAMS has gone out of business, Macquarie Bank stopped lending money, most of them have disappeared. So the big banks are now writing 90% of all home loans. Mm. And they don't have to cut their rates to increase their market share. But look, it's pretty controversial that we've just had the biggest ever bank profit reported in Australia, $4.7 billion, at the end of what's meant to be the world's worst credit crunch. So we have the world's most expensive banking system. Big bank CEOs have all made tens of millions of bucks over the years. If they don't pass on the Reserve Bank interest rate cut next month in full, I think there'll be a real outpouring of anger because these guys, you know, credit crunch, you know, so what?
There's no reason for them not to pass it on, is there?
There is absolutely no reason. They are stacking on market share. Their profits are still rising. And the Commonwealth Bank is today still worth $60 billion, which is worth more than most of the big American banks. They are so strong, rich and profitable that they can afford to pass on interest rate cuts next month.
Okay, let's hope so. Stephen, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thanks, John.